welcome to Silicon Sandbox, Mike, our first episode.
Episode one, it's super exciting.
And this is our first inaugural show. We are so incredibly excited to have Patrick Kahn, who is the CEO and founder of Papaya Pay. Before we get to Patrick, I wanted to kind of remind everybody, since this is our first show, what this show is all about. So it's called Silicon Sandbox because we wanted to put the spotlight on Silicon Beach in LA. And because of the innovative theme, the sandbox sort of was our analogy to inviting entrepreneurs to talk about their stories. What else did we want to talk about on this podcast?
We like entrepreneurs to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of founding a startup right here in LA.
And we could not think of a better guest than Patrick Kahn.
Patrick Kahn of Papaya.
Papaya, K-A-N-N. Patrick is the founder and CEO of Papaya, and we'll talk about the company. The story of how Patrick came to be the founder of this company. And I think we're going to be in for a great ride this show. What do you think?
Yeah, agreed. I'm excited.
Okay. All right. So just to get us started, first, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Patrick, how's everything?
Actually, in the coronavirus world, we give fist bumps, right? All right, welcome. Welcome to the show. So why don't we begin by actually watching Patrick's video of what Papaya does, and then we can go from there. So
sweet.
Like everyone, you get a lot of bills. Send the check, call in here, log in there. Shouldn't paying be fast and worry-free? Wouldn't it be great if you could pay all your bills with your phone in seconds? Welcome to Papaya Payments, a free mobile app just for paying bills. Here's how it works. Snap a pic, pay the way you want, and kick back as Papaya securely submits the payment for you. You can even track payments too. Papaya is secure, award-winning, highly rated in the App Store, and backed by the same investors behind real game changers. Sound good? Search for Papaya Pay in your App Store. Download today and experience a better way to bill pay.
Okay, awesome. So because this is our first show, why don't we remind our audience, Mike, what this show is sort of all about? So,
well, it's all about Silicon Beach. It's all about the entrepreneurs and the go-getters and the tastemakers that are making Los Angeles startup scene actually happen. So good to have you, Patrick. What can you tell us about Papaya and, you know, how did you choose the idea? How did you choose LA? And where do you go from here?
Absolutely. So the idea of Papaya actually is very associated with my own history. So I'll start with by that. So I grew up in Brazil. And all my family, everyone, my parents, uncles, aunts, grandparents, everyone was entrepreneurs. And, you know, Brazil is a very poor country. So in the 80s, when I was a child, 80% of the, 20% of the adult population was illiterate. And I grew up in a very, let's say, privileged position. And I knew about it. So I went to private schools and went to some of the best, one of the best colleges in Brazil. So I always knew how privileged I was while growing up in Brazil. And so after college, when I was 23, 24 years old, I made a decision to myself that whatever I would do in life would be to give back to society in some way, the luck and fortune that I have had. So there was one little night that I decided to send my resume to the World Bank in Washington, D.C. And to my surprise, I was actually hired.
Yeah. By the way, is there a big Brazilian community in Los Angeles?
There's a very large community. For some reason, I am more connected to the tech community than to the Brazilian community itself.
Where do they live in LA? Everywhere?
I think Brazilians usually like to live close to the beach.
Okay.
So I know there's a large community in Venice and that area.
But there's no Brazil town that I'm
there's
aware
no
of.
There's no Brazil town.
Okay.
That, if there is, please let me know. I'd love to.
Yeah. No, you and I have that in common. I also moved from Scotland around age 22. And it sounds like similarly to you, I have more affinity with the tech community and the startup community than I do with any kind of Scottish community in LA. I don't think I know. I know like a handful of Scottish people, but I definitely, you know, I don't hang out with them. I don't feel like an expat in that way. I feel more like kind of an entrepreneur at heart and a US citizen.
Cool. So you're from Brazil, privileged by admission, want to change the world, come to DC, and then... Then, boom.
Yeah, so when I was in D.C., I was working on advising governments, especially in Central America and South America, on how to make their countries better. And after a few years, the formula became kind of repetitive. And here's what it was. If you want to make an impact and you want to reduce poverty, the formula is about more innovation, more technology, and create an environment where small companies can flourish. And I fell in love with that formula. I fell in love with the power of entrepreneurship in making a long-term impact in society. So I ended up deciding to do an MBA where we were classmates.
So for full disclosure, Patrick and I have known each other for a while. We went to Stanford Business School together, so. Please.
And so the goal was to go deep into the entrepreneurial aspects of building businesses. And since graduation, I've been devoting my life to building businesses or that also have a social impact. So it's something that I have to have in every decision that I do in life.
One thing that's really cool about that is that I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they have role models like Elon Musk or Steve Jobs, who famously said that one of his priorities or his driving factors was to put a dent in the world, right? And there's nothing inherently kind of personal or selfish about that. But I generally don't feel, I think that part of the dream of entrepreneurship is, part of it obviously is like a fast early exit. Right, you're going to have some kind of life-changing event. And then if you're a serial entrepreneur, you can go on to create more companies. But it's really interesting that you saw in the World Bank this fresh perspective where you didn't just see entrepreneurship as something that kind of benefits the individual or the individual's employees 1 through 10, but actually the whole purpose of it, actually it helps entire countries. Like at the national level, it's something that you find is really, really important to kind of shift economics, right, for a whole country.
Yeah, I cannot agree more. And that's why since graduation from Stanford, I've always chose businesses that could be large business, create jobs, create productivity, but also to have a social impact. So I worked in solar energy for many years, but I very quickly became drawn to the area of bill payments. And the reason is that in the US, by far, the number one source of stress and anxiety is bill payments. 67% of families suffer when they have to deal with their bills, be it managing, paying, you know, it's a very emotional tolling place. And I wanted to make an impact there. Mm-hmm. And if I want to devote many years of my life, I wanted to solve that problem.
That's great. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I mean, I have like a stack of paper. I try and go paperless as much as I can, but then that just ends up filling up your inbox. And regardless, once you get to a certain point in your life, you have an awful lot of people you have to pay money to. And every bill looks different. And I do still have a stack of paper, but I also have to remember sign-ins to 20, 30, potentially like 50 different places to pay bills.
Yeah, well, I love receiving local mail. I mean, going through all those coupons really enlightened me every day.
Yeah.
So, it is kind of, it's interesting. I think I did see a stat about local advertising, because we're obviously in the business of local television as well, that still a big part of local media ad spend is actually on snail mail. Which, like in scales that we would all be surprised, like, do people actually still do that? And yeah. Apparently they do. But anyway, so I agree. So what what kind of, you know, for, before we go there, like, why did you choose LA? Tell us the LA story of Patrick Kahn.
Absolutely. So the main reason, the number one reason by far, was my wife.
It's a good reason.
It's a good reason. That's compelling.
Yes. So my wife had lived in LA for 7 years before we had met, and she loved it here. And she was teaching me how incredible it was. So, you know, having lived in the Bay Area before and loving tech, my first couple of months, I felt like I was being dragged, and I was resistant to moving. Mm-hmm. It took probably a year or so, but now I cannot imagine living anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
I think LA is a fantastic place to live and a fantastic place to build technology companies.
Yeah. Okay, top three things why you love LA.
So the diversity and how everyone is embraced. Mm-hmm. Now talking about innovation, LA is a city of dreams, right? A lot of people come here because they want to pursue, let's say, acting careers. And building startups are very similar, right? We are dreaming big and following them. Mm-hmm. And I think that the culture is very conducive mm-hmm. to having the right people to work in technology companies.
Okay. So where do you, if you don't mind sharing, where do you live and where's the company in LA?
Yeah, so we are based in Sherman Oaks. And I live in Sherman Oaks.
Okay.
But yeah, right, it's very convenient. Yes.
Okay.
It was a little bit of a surprise to us, but it's actually a quite convenient place because we can attract a lot of incredible talent from the east side. So from Pasadena, from Silver Lake, from downtown. And we can also attract people from the west side. So even though there are not many companies there, it's actually a great place to build a technology company.
Interesting. So take us a little bit on the journey. A lot of our listeners and viewers may have a great idea, but maybe they have a full-time job or there's something going on and they haven't been able to take that step to actually, you know, founding a company like you did. So like what was going through your mind when you said, God, I have to start Papaya? I mean, did you have a lot of money in the bank? Did you have a lot of technology that you've developed somewhere? Like can you tell the story of how that actually happened?
So I think it was a process. I don't think it was like a light bulb moment that said that I would do this. I like to do a lot of little tasks to see whether an idea has legs and some analysis. And whatever I was doing and whatever I was analyzing, it was conducive that I have to do this. It got to the point that it became kind of irrational. So on the analysis front, I wanted to know whether there is a business there just to begin with. And it was quite obvious. In the US, if you look e-commerce is about 70% mobile already. Gaming is above 70%, including console games, and mobile. But when it comes to bill payments, it's only 2.4%. It's very, very tiny. So to me, it was clear that there is an anomaly there. So I partnered with Jason Meltzer, the CTO of the company, and we did tons of user interviews to understand why this anomaly. And we realized that mobile to pick up in bill payment needs to have three components. Needed to have to be free, like no convenience fee based business model, which is obvious. The second one, it needs to be frictionless, like cannot have a lot of sign up. It needs to be very, very simple, very elegant experience. And the third one is it needs to be universal. Like if you're going to download an app in your phone, it needs to be to pay every bill, no matter what. Mm-hmm. So we built a prototype in which it was very simple. You snap a picture of a bill, scans the bill, and it automated the payment. At the time, the automation was me, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever, we received the mirror image and we were testing. And I had no idea how to get distribution, how to have people learn about our technology and download the app. I knew that if I, maybe because I didn't have a lot of money, Facebook ads or Google would be prohibitive to get traction that way. So I did, maybe in the desperation mode, I dressed myself in black. And I went,
papaya?
At the time, maybe we're not even called papaya at the time, but I dressed myself completely in black. I went to Santa Monica Boulevard in Santa Monica during the day of street cleaning. And I followed the street cleaning car. And every time I would see a parking ticket being given, I put a little yellow sticker on the parking ticket saying, pay via papaya. And run away so that I wouldn't be caught or get into trouble. And just to see whether people would download the app to begin with and use it. And to my initial surprise, about 25% of those parking tickets were being paid via papaya. And not only that, the people who were downloading the app were using the app to pay other bills as well. Always in the Santa Monica region. So it was very, very interesting.
So it's very sticky. I mean, it sounds like a very, very successful guerrilla marketing campaign. And you ran the risk of associating papaya with a deeply annoying, aggravating event, which is to get a parking ticket. But at the same time, you're saying, oh, if you want to make this go away very quickly, use this app. And I can imagine if I had downloaded the app, the next thing I would do would be to start testing it on all my other bills, which it sounded like you supported right out of the box, right?
That's
very, I mean, accurate. Maybe you were faking it, but as soon as you, that's Patrick true. Kahn, the AI mastermind behind this whole thing, once those images started coming in, you would just figure out how to pay them.
Exactly. That was the early stage. So, and
did the CTO build the app, or did you have it outsourced, or what? Take us through a little bit of how did you actually get the app from nothing to having something?
Yeah, so at the time, Jason and I would meet for lunch and throw ideas in the air. And then we came up with the idea of bill payments, mobile bill payments. And he said, you know what? There's something there. Let me build a prototype. I think, great. This was like a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We would have Wednesday lunches. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, you're going to build the app. And said, yeah, I'll build the app. Have you ever built an app? I said, I have never done. Do you know Objective-C? Do you know any iOS? I have no idea. I said, okay, he'll have some work. So this was at Wednesday.
He didn't work at the restaurant, did he?
possibly.
Okay.
Because the next day...
Yeah.
On Thursday, our first version of the app was ready. He learned a new language and built the first prototype of the app in night.
Wow.
Is Jason looking for a job right now?
We're hiring at Fox, by the way.
Yeah. iOS developers, particularly.
not Jason. Other people out there.
Busy.
He sounds busy.
But if he knows anyone at the same restaurant, he wants to learn.
That was the moment I said, wow. I'm sure that whatever I'm going to be doing, I'm going to be working with Jay. Right. That was the point. So he built up a very simple but functional prototype that we could launch in the next day.
And this still had Patrick Kahn as the Mechanical Turk, or did that version actually have machine learning?
The very first version is Patrick Kahn or Jason Meltzer as Mechanical Turk in the very first version. In fact, I remember one of our very first users. I was interviewing everyone to learn why people were learning, and I almost and this person downloaded the app, paid the parking ticket, and then paid a dentist, and I called the person to learn about, and I was almost lecturing the person. Like, how come you trust an app with no reveals, no history, with sensitive data, with your credit card?
You're irresponsible using my product, was your message.
I may have used those words. and the person said, well, what? It was a 19-year-old student.
Yeah.
And
first of all, he said, how did you get my phone number? Yeah. Who are you? Yeah.
And so he said, you know, my generation is a generation of trust. Mm-hmm. We trust things. We trust Uber. We trust Airbnb. We trust. What bad could have happened? Mm-hmm. These exact words. You know, I can just cancel the card and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I understood that the pain or the hassle to deal with this one-off bills is big enough. Mm-hmm. For users to overcome that.
It's an amazing story. So whose idea was it to dress in black and follow the trash truck around?
And why black? Like,
I wanted to be stealth. It's desperation. It's
literally in stealth mode.
Okay. Yeah. No police came after you. You didn't get into trouble with the law.
Now that I am on the podcast, maybe I will be. But
Was it a black turtleneck?
So if you're a member of the law enforcement in Los Angeles, please call our tip line and we'll let you know where to find Patrick. That's a fantastic story, Patrick. So from that point on, you knew you had something?
Yeah, I knew that I had users, that I had a solution that addressed a real problem. I knew that the market was really big. There are 30 billion paper statement being sent out in the country per year. Yeah. A huge market and a solution that people related to.
Yeah.
But still, what we didn't have was distribution. Yeah. We didn't know, we're still, doing parking tickets, it's a short term.
Doesn't scale.
There are lots of parking tickets, though.
Yeah, but Patrick would have to have a whole new wardrobe in black.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the huge tipping point was when I was calling places to make those payments. And it was an OBGYN in Santa Monica that first said, well, this solution is quite nice. Can I offer this to my patients? And I said, I do not mind. So they put this little note in those paper bills, pay via papaya. Mm-hmm. And we got really good conversion there. And from there, I have three kids, and I pitched my kids' pediatrician, and the pediatrician did the same. And from then and on, today we have almost 150,000 businesses in the U.S., mostly in healthcare. Suggesting papaya as an additional payment method.
So let's be clear. In the beginning, you have this app. People would put their credit card information and a picture of their bill. It goes into your system. Patrick Kahn then looks at that, calls that phone number by himself, tells that person the credit card number that you have, and then the bill is paid. That was
the very first. It was not like not secure, not
sure.
It was a task. Today is quite different,
right.
We have
to go through all PCI compliant,
right? So now you have 150,000 businesses transacting. What that's amazing. Is there another inflection point in that growth where something clicked, or is it just that insight from the dentist that propelled you to where you are today?
Absolutely. And many businesses receive payments from papaya today, even those that we don't have any relationship. And they are already becoming more aware of us, and they are reaching out on a daily basis to know how to partner with us. So we started initially with some very small medical and healthcare institutions. And right now we are branching out to, there are a few cities that are going to collect property taxes with papaya, student loans, loans in general. So we are, if someone told me that we would be in the stage we are right now, let's say even 1 year ago, I would not believe how we are growing and how the adoption has been.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. And it's an example of where your business benefits not just the end user, but the businesses themselves. So then once it becomes in their self-interest, then they have a certain scale of their own, right? They have like a back office and they have a book of business, a book of people. And then if it helps them to start promoting papaya, that's when you start to get this groundswell and then like this forward momentum.
Absolutely.
So it is, and the healthcare was perfect because it's not like those businesses have their own apps where they have a transaction feature. They didn't have that. So this filled a need that they had already without conflicting with their existing digital property. Is that an accurate
statement? It's absolutely accurate. And even if they do have, mm-hmm. it's an additional benefit that right. they could have. It's a good way for businesses to show compassion to their customers, because when you use Papaya, it's such a painless experience. Mm-hmm. It's truly, you know, after the first payment, it takes on average 8 seconds to pay absolutely any bill. Mm-hmm. So business want to be associated with, it's a way for business to show that they care about their customers or in healthcare, their patients.
So how does the business work? Do your customers, the hospitals, et cetera, pay a certain percentage of what they collect to Papaya, or what's the business model here?
Oh, fantastic. So we developed a quite unique business model. We knew that we couldn't be charging customers. And it's part of the philosophy of the company that we want to offer our solution for free. We want anyone to be able to use our technology. We don't want cost to be a barrier. And on the business side, businesses are really good to us. Because they are also promoting to their customers, who, getting users to us. So if we charge them, then adoption would be lower. So we develop a unique business model in which we have a structure with a bank, in which the flow of money goes through the bank, and we finalize transactions using credit card rail on the credit card rails. Mm-hmm. So whatever the merchant pays in their regular credit card fees, some part of that credit card fees ends up flowing towards Papaya.
Oh, so you're saying that the clearing, the credit card clearing system is what actually who pays you?
Yes.
Your end users, the people who get parking tickets, or the city government who issued parking tickets, it's free to them.
Yeah.
So you're collecting it from the toll collectors.
Let's say the city is paying a credit card fee, part of that credit card fee end up rolling towards Papaya.
Got it. So is that, I'm guessing that adds to a lot of money, or how, you know, give us a scale as to like, is this, how's business?
Yeah, we're in a very fun phase. For over 2 years, we've been able to grow at a minimum of 15% every single month, mm-hmm. Closer to 20% on average. And if everything continues as is right now, we should be acquiring over 1 million active users per year by the end of this year.
Wow, that's great.
So, you know, what can you tell us? You know, part of the entrepreneur's journey is to have investors who believe in you, and or you convince them to believe in you, or, you know, for whatever reason, want to give you money. Do you have investors? I think the video showed that you have some very world-class investors who've invested in other companies, but tell us a little bit about the fundraising part for the would-be entrepreneurs listening today.
Absolutely. We've been very fortunate. So from inception, in which we managed to relatively quickly get traction. But something that we have as a mission of the company is that whatever decision we make, we do want to give to have shareholder value, but also we want to have an impact. And there are a number of investors who actually connect with our mission, and we have partnered with them. So some of our key shareholders include Sequoia Capital, which is very humbling to have them as a large shareholder, First Round Capital, and a number of other local VCs, including Fika and Mucker. And we really wanted to give privilege to local VCs to be part of Papaya.
Great. Are you able to share how much you've raised so far, or is that confidential?
It's a little bit confidential.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we do not make that information public.
Okay.
But we are very well funded.
Got it. So what about maybe another confidential question I'll just ask? How much is the company valued roughly? Is there any indication? Is it, say, $500,000 company, a $5 million company, $50 million company, $500 million company, $5 billion company? Where would Papaya be right now?
Yeah, that's the $1 billion question. We do not necessarily disclose this information.
Awesome. Okay. So you could theoretically be a unicorn that we've never heard of.
Not yet. Okay. Not yet. Hopefully within the next
few. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, that's a great story. So going back to Steve's question about the business model and who your actual customer is, do you find that people tend to pay bills much faster with Papaya than they usually do? And does that generate a lot of interest on the financing piece of it? Because I guess the faster, you know, people pay their bills, then that just means the money's flowing faster, and then that benefits everyone. Really.
Everyone. Yeah. So yeah, we do have very strong data that not only people pay faster, like meaningfully faster, but also in less costly way. So meaningful reduction of in healthcare to be sending second and third statements, less phone calls, like 19% less phone calls. So there are a lot of benefits. We are not right now basing our business model in quicker and higher delivery of receivables, but that could be an option in the.
But speed comes with a bunch of ancillary benefits anyway that just make the whole offering very attractive.
Yes.
Sounds like.
So what about competition? I mean, it sounds like you're sort of charting new territory, but is there a competition out there that you're worried about or that directly compete with you?
Yeah, so frankly speaking, this question is something that I dabble quite a lot. You know, who's our competitor? And the reality is that our number one competitor is the status quo, is how people have been doing the same forever. So number one competitor, believe it or not, is USPS and phone calls. By far, this is where we are clearly taking share. And we collaborate with all the others. So payment portals and payment companies, they are actually our partners. We do not compete with them.
Okay, interesting. So maybe a little on the investment side, because I think, again, a lot of our listeners may it be a great idea, and it's like, only if somebody gave me $1 million, I can make this into a $1 billion company. But you know, having been a former venture capitalist myself, I know there's sort of a process. And so can you tell us a little bit about, you know, or let's say advice to people listening, if they have a great idea and they're looking for funding, what kind of advice would you give them, especially in LA?
All right. So the number one advice by far is just do something that they're truly passionate about, by far. Don't just not following something that feels like a good business or a good idea, but something that you deeply care, and that if you don't have any income for 2 years, hypothetically, you still would pursue that. I think that's the number one thing. The second one is make sure that you have a good co-founder. Someone who complements you and that you trust. These are two prerequisites, even way before funding. When it comes to funding, it's never easy to raise financing, right? So it's to talk to a lot of people, to have a good story, a good deck, a really large market. But it's the tenacity of not giving up. Eventually, things happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, you went to Stanford Business School. You worked at the World Bank. You admitted you were from some privilege in Brazil. So, you know, what if somebody doesn't have any of that? I didn't go to Stanford. I went to, you know, I don't know, a community college here in LA. I don't have connections with founders or investors. Like, what advice would you give to, I mean, how does somebody like that get even through the door? Any advice there?
Yeah, that's actually the beauty of Los Angeles in particular. So when I moved to LA, I definitely wanted to be part of the tech community and get to know investors, entrepreneurs, companies everywhere. And I remember going to one tech startup event. And as I entered the building and I saw everyone seemed to be like hugging and everyone knew one another. And it was a big party. And I felt so like shy. And within 10, 15 minutes, I left. But I continued going to these events. And I remember exactly 1 year later going to the very same event. And then I already knew everyone. And we were high-fiving and hugging. And I think the LA community is quite embracing of people that want to join the community. So it's very easy to know everyone. And if you do have a good business and you're getting an initial traction, people talk and people are very supportive and they will introduce you to the right people that could be investors or partners or employees or advisors. That's one of the strongest benefits of LA being a strong but relatively small tech startup hub.
And do you find it's harder to find a really strong tech co-founder in LA than it was in the Bay Area or New York City or anywhere else in the country?
I would not know that. I just think that there's incredible technical talent in Los Angeles. Amazing engineering schools, and there are a lot of people who want to be in Los Angeles and start companies. So I don't think necessarily it is more challenging than other locations or to find a co-founder.
Yeah,
here.
And I think that may be relatively new in the past 5 or 10 years, which is something that's really exciting for me to see happen in LA. Is that the whole Silicon Beach thing is happening? So there is this huge influx of talent, especially technical talent, and excitement about the startup scene. So I think anyone here who's pursuing entrepreneurship or pursuing a startup, it's such a great time to be in LA now.
Yeah. It is.
But, you know, Mike Shivas and I, you know, in running the digital business here for the stations, constantly struggle to, you know, hire, right? Because there is a lot of competition and, you know, so do you tell us about your story in LA of hiring? Of course, the technical co-founder is probably a different story, but the rest of your tech team. In fact, like just roughly how many people work at Papaya and like how do you go and recruit them in LA?
Absolutely. So we are about 50 people and we something that we have very strong as a cultural trait of our company is that we are true mission driven. We really want to eliminate the stress and anxiety of American families around their bills. And it is a mission that a lot of people relate to and they want to work towards. So the fact that we have this very strong mission is very valuable for people. But part of our mission is that we want to be an example to some extent of how tech startups should be in terms of diversity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. So our company is approximately 50-50 in terms of men, women, about 20% African American, 20% Latin American. We have people from all over the world, even though we are only 50 people. And it's an environment that when people come in, they feel like they want to be part of it. So we have almost negligible turnover. That people voluntarily turnover. It's a very special place.
So are you posting jobs on LinkedIn or on company websites or going through recruiters or what are some tactics you're using?
Yeah, so we all of them. You know, that we do LinkedIn, we post, and we have an in-house recruiter who's extremely talented, and many of our investors do help, and we have a lot of inbounds as well. It's very interesting also that 100% of our users receive an email, my real email. I give my real email to 100% of our users. So very often we also receive users, emails from users to me saying that they would like to apply for a position.
Do you read all the emails that come to you?
Not only I read, but I reply to 100% of them.
Personally?
Personally.
Is that scalable?
It doesn't matter. That's my role. Like, there's nothing more valuable than the user feedback, good or bad. And also to be able to increase the team.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. So is it a very engineering centric team, or what, of the 50 people, how many people are like engineers?
Yeah, so we have approximately 1/3 of our team that is product engineering, design. We have 1/3 in operations, and 1/3 in growth related activities.
Got it. So if somebody is watching or listening and they love Papaya and want to join, what are there some open roles that people can apply to, or what area are you looking to fill?
All of them. You know, so one of our philosophies is that talented people create magic. And even if we do not have a specific role, if someone is really incredible, we'll create a role for the person. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of this. Our email is careers@papayapay.com. So love to receive resumes there.
Okay. So what is it not good to be in LA about? Let's talk a little bit about the downside of, you know, this is about Silicon Sandbox. Any challenges to Los Angeles that you've noticed as an entrepreneur?
Absolutely. So I think there are some positions in particular, now that we're talking about recruiting, that are a little bit more challenging than others. So engineering, we have an incredible talent. Marketing, we have incredible talent. And so across the board, LA has plenty. More specific, product people is one of the most challenging positions to fill.
Product managers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, product managers is one of the hardest
to
find.
Why do you think?
Yeah, because I think different from most of other skills, there's not real like schools for product managers. It's something that you learn almost 100% at the job. And just the number of startups in LA that went from early stage to late stage and produce amazing product managers is relatively small, mm-hmm. compared to, let's say, Silicon Valley. Right. So that's one particular role that is the most challenging for us to find.
Interesting. So for those of us listening or watching who don't know exactly what a product manager does, can you give your definition of what this person is? By the way, Mike and I also have struggled to hire, you know,
yeah,
more
by
product managers as well.
We also
it's another one we want to fill.
Product?
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a product manager, call us too. Okay. But so what's a product manager exactly?
So a product manager is a person who listens very closely to user needs and user opportunities and translate that in how the product would behave. And the translation is not only how the design of the experience, but also managing all the internal resources toward that goal. So dealing a lot with engineering and design to make that happen.
Yeah. So somebody with the combination of having kind of business and user-centric mindset, but also has the other side of the brain to work with engineers and managing those resources and prioritizing that. It is a difficult combination to find generally, and maybe particularly in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So these are people who are driving the product through to final submission to the App Store.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there you go. If you're looking for what you should do in the future, go check out how to become a product manager. And you at least have two vacancies here, one at Papaya, and one at Fox.
My new startup is going to be to create a school of for product managers based right here in LA.
Yeah.
Opening.
We'll call it
sometime soon.
Papaya. And we'll all be billionaires.
We'll be churning out world-class product managers by the truckload in a few months.
Exactly. So so anyway, just trying to dig out, you know, some of the challenges, like what keeps you up at night? You know, it's certainly by all accounts been an amazing experience for you. You know, do you get to see your kids and your wife? Are you working 24 hours a day? Or, you know, what kind of challenges do you have on the personal side as, you know, being a founder of this amazing company?
Yeah. So on the personal side, I have a wonderful wife who is extremely supportive. She herself was an entrepreneur in the past. So she relates to the pains, and she is the most amazing person to have alongside
me.
Yeah. and the true answer.
Yes.
And my kids, likewise, they understand very well what we are doing and the goals, and they seem to most of the time be supportive. And they love coming to the office, and they love seeing the work. I have two daughters, and I'm very excited to bring them to the office and see how diverse and how women have a very important role in all functions. And I want them to be inspired by that, and they understand that. So on the family side, it is I would say it's easy, but have unrestricted support, even though I have to work more than maybe I should. What keeps me up at night? I think that overall, if we have a good market and we have good people, we will conquer the world. We'll do amazing things. So what is always my worry is whether the team is happy and inspired to keep working, because it's challenging. You know, we have bugs at times, and we have all sorts of little problems that we have to deal. And it's by the team being happy and inspired that gives the incentives for us to move forward.
Awesome. So who came up with the name Papaya? I'm guessing the pay in Papaya, but what's the story behind Papaya?
That's exactly it. So we had a very bad name originally. It was SnapPay. And we quickly learned that we were infringing someone's trademark. not
you
a surprise.
We could call it Facebook Pay, though.
We could, yeah. And we had to choose a new name. Mm-hmm. So we made a list of 300 names, and somehow Papaya was in the middle of those 300 names.
Right.
And we were showing to a lot of people, to partners, customers, users, investors, and recurringly, Papaya came as number one or number two. Mm. And we would ask, why you like this the name? And people say, I don't know, just a good name. Mm. It's just a good name. So that's how we came with Papaya. I wish we had a better story. Maybe I should make it up. But that's the story. It was one random name that people really related to.
Do you like eating papaya at all? Or?
I do. Okay. I do. It's I think 70% of the papayas are actually planted in Brazil.
Oh, really? So, that's a good coincidence.
Oh, yeah. That's a strong coincidence. Yeah.
Sorry, I cut you off.
Wait, so it sounds like your the name also came from user testing, which is a key part, as an entrepreneur, is a key part of how you got to Papaya. And I've found that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with the idea of like a legit MVP, right? They think about testing their idea before building it, and that terrifies them, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs tend to identify with their idea, and they're afraid to see it fail. And of course, the whole ethos of the lean startup is to throw something out there as fast as possible. It barely works. It has Patrick Kahn behind it, kind of pulling all the levers. And then the chance of it failing and failing fast is just it's very high. And one thing I've known about you, because you and I worked together at Idealab in Pasadena, is that every few days you would come to me and you're like, Mike, let me tell you about this new idea I had. And we would sit down, I'd take a break from my gaming startup and we'd talk about Patrick's new idea. And he's always been a guy who's like the most dedicated to this approach of MVP. And I remember one time, and this is a story I tell to a lot of people, they were trying to test the idea of some device and because this was kind of at the beginning of Internet of Things. And someone had said, well, what if there was a device that measured, I think like it was a weighing device or something where you would, or maybe it was a wearable where it would tell you how far you've walked and what you weighed and what you were eating. So rather than building it, which could have cost millions of dollars, rather than starting a Kickstarter, Patrick went and he bought this big fat USB stick and he carefully cut it out of the plastic and he pulled the cardboard, you know, insert out. And he completely rewrote the cardboard insert to just contain a list of features of this device they were thinking about. Mm. And then he slid it back in and he sealed it back up. And then he just sneaked into a store in Pasadena and hung it. And then he watched people go up to this device, pick it up, read the list of features, and put it back and walk away. But the people who would pick it up and stare at it or potentially even put it in their basket, Patrick would then run up, dressed in black probably, and he would say, tell me about why did you pick up that device? Like, what was it about that device that you found so attractive? And I remember thinking, you know, as a technology guy, well, I probably would have gone off for 6 months to build that thing or try to build that thing. But Patrick comes at it from this, you know, legit lean methodology. And he's just like, well, let's just pretend it existed and then trick people into thinking that it existed to get their user feedback. So I just think it's really interesting that even the name of your startup comes from that commitment to just trying idea after idea after idea using, you know, whatever methods that you have to hand.
You know, good like memory.
Start where you are, start with what you have, and then just get going. I've always admired that about you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I think some of the takeaways are border on illegal out.
Bordering on, yeah.
Yeah, I see the recurring theme there.
You know, violation slightly of city regulations, but no, that's, and in addition, obviously, I know Patrick from our business school days too, and I think I love the idea of a mission-driven group that sort of self-selects to reduce things like churn and attrition and things like that, you know, from an HR perspective, but also people who are really passionate and are going to sort of stay through the journey with you, I think are amazing takeaways that are not very common. So it's been a true honor to have you as our first guest. We want to end each episode, hopefully. This is the first one, so, you know, you're the first. But, you know, ending the show on things that you might need from the community, whatever it may be. We can't solicit funding because that might violate some securities laws. But other than money, what can our audiences and LA help you with? What are some things, maybe one or two things that you can use some help right now?
So I'm going to continue on the theme. Like, there's absolutely nothing more valuable for us to build an incredible company than to receive user feedback. So by downloading the app and using and giving any ideas of features that we can build to make the experience better, or things that are not good that we should fix, that would be the best gift that I could get. And by using the app, you have my email, so my real email, that I'll be happy to engage in a conversation.
I don't think I even have your real email, yeah. Patrick, so that's one way to get it. It's very roundabout way, but
yeah, Papaya Pay, is that how we search it on the App Store?
Just Papaya would be the first.
Okay, so go download Papaya, pay a parking ticket or a dentist's bill. What a fascinating story. Anything else from you, Mike?
Yeah, I had one last question. I remember those days at Idea Labs where you would come to me with like idea after idea. How many ideas have you had, Patrick, that finally led to Papaya, do you think? Just an estimate of how many ideas you've had, how many that you've tried in an MVP sense, how many that you've actually built something for in order to get where you are today with Papaya?
That's a good question. I would not know what, because but funny enough, you think of entrepreneurs as risk-loving people. I'm actually quite risk-averse. And that's why maybe I do so many tests, is just to make sure before committing. So I was always coming with new ideas and doing quick tests, and most often than not crossing the threshold of my own passion, or not my threshold of being an impact-driven business, or something else, like you wouldn't get distribution, or people would not like, or, you know. So I was doing tons of them.
Do you keep a little notebook at home writing down all the great ideas you have, or you don't?
Or not. Maybe the right thing to do is to just completely forget them and move on very quickly.
Yeah, well, you've certainly landed on a really good one now, it sounds like. So yeah. Anyway, thank you so much, Patrick. It was such an honor to have you on.
Yeah. And, thanks, Patrick.
That's it for Silicon Sandbox. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.